Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden on this 99-degree day. It's a beautiful day for the Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up with Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com, Colorado's leading conservative voice, a great website there, and Dr. Julie McCallum with Denver Cenogenics. You know, from now on, guys, Chuck and I are going to be doing the show in masks. Actually, we're going to be completely cocooned and wrapped in plastic with all kinds of Lysol spray and everything like that. And we recommend you do too, because we would sure hate for us to actually give you
the Delta variant
of the coronavirus. It is a little known fact. The CDC has just discovered that it can be transmitted through
podcasts.
That's one of the main reasons it's being spread.
Yes,
what a freaking joke. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's like, could it have skeptical me anything to do with Biden's approval rating is plummeting? My guess is this is not going to help. What do you think?
I don't think it's to help Biden. I think because everybody's confused, the Biden administration doesn't know what it's doing. Left hand. If you had a stronger president, he'd tell the CDC, no, we're not going back through this.
Idiots.
We're not going to try to, you know, keep you guys in charge for the rest of your lives. We're just not going to do it. But he can't.
Well, he doesn't know what's going on.
Well, that's true. He's got the Delta variant. He is the Delta variant.
Hey, but we brought somebody with us, our resident investigative expert on it, who is, I'm sure, are you on YouTube even, Michael? I can't imagine you are. You must have been banned years ago.
No, I had my Hulu videos on there and they deleted them.
There you go. Investigative columnist Michael Tao, who gets thousands of hits on his articles. The YouTube people hate that because you get the truth straight out. Let me ask you, my first question is, are you shocked that we're all supposed to be wearing masks right now, even though we're vaccinated and the vaccines work, of course? I mean, what do you make of all of this?
No, I mean, anyone who thinks this is ever going to end is living in a fantasy land. Bullies don't. Suddenly, they don't go, okay, you gave me your lunch money today. I don't need any more lunch money. I'm good. They don't do that. Authoritarian regimes don't give up power. This has been like one lie. So I just did a post on Twitter. It was incredible. I found this article in the British Journal of Medicine. So they didn't evaluate any of the vaccines' effectiveness against severe cases. Why not? Because they're so rare that there wouldn't be enough, even if it's 30,000
people,
that they could evaluate them. So this is what we're supposed to believe. There's a deadly disease out there that it's so deadly we have to fast track a vaccine, and everyone needs to take it. But unfortunately, we can't test it against severe cases because they never hardly occur. That's what we're supposed to actually believe. So it's been one lie after another from the beginning. Now you have this. Variant is not a defined term in this discipline of virology, which is itself BS, but it's meaningless. So you have mutations. When is it a variant and when is it not a variant? One principle guides it. It's not from biology. It's from psychology. Increase fear.
Yeah.
That's when you decide you have a variant. There's no definition of variant. It's a made up term. And this is the thing too. We got to stop even using these words. If you start using variant, pandemic, even COVID-19, like these people, all they do is lie, and you don't need to wait till the next lie is exposed to believe they're lying. Just assume they're lying.
But we get some good things from this, I have to say. I mean, this is going to give an extra couple months of Dr. Fauci coming before us and soothing us and making us feel better,
confusing us,
flopping and everything else.
You're right. He's a war criminal. This will be episode. The only good thing about this is, and maybe I'm wrong, but Michael, let me tell you, my daughter, so they were at a concert at Red Rocks, she and her friends, over the weekend, and she said it was the most fun they've had in a year and a half. It was a whole bunch of them there. And she said, she just came back. She's like, people were sort of chanting, COVID is over. COVID is over. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I said, oh no, there's a variant. You're going to have to wear a mask. And she said, no way is anyone. Now this is my liberal daughter, right? She's like, we are not going back to masks. I think they have an uphill battle here, which could be good news.
They may get it down to the core, and we'll find out how many people that is, the people who just really won't
love to wear the
mask. No matter what happens, they're not going to see the truth. They're not going to, but the thing is, you have to realize too, a lot of these people in favor of this stuff have not been harmed by any of it. I know people, they don't mind wearing the masks. Like I wouldn't wear one on a bet, but they don't mind it at all. They work from home. Right. So it's no big deal. Or they didn't work from home. They now do work from home.
Right.
A lot of people have benefited from it. I don't just mean Facebook. I don't just mean the CDC who got their budget increased.
Or teachers who got a year and a half vacation.
Yeah. No, I've got friends, I got to tell you, who are happy about this so-called variant and who are not worried at all about getting it, but because it gives them an excuse to go to their boss and say they have to continue working at home. I mean, I've got somebody who's
care about the people whose lives have been crushed by these unnecessary lockdowns. And that's the question. How many people are there? And then there's a substantial group of people who this meets some sort of spiritual need, whose lives are so empty that the idea of some horrible virus out there killing people, they like it. It gives drama to their lives. They have some need for sacrifice that they're not able to meet somehow. So they do this. So the question is, how many of those people are and what they're going to, keep having this idea, there's going to be a twist ending to everything.
Fauci gets
on TV and says, it was all planned to get rid of these stupid people. They all died in the vaccine.
I expect the screen to come on and Simone Biles is coming on.
Right.
And she's going to announce that she's been behind this whole thing.
Yeah.
And her Olympic withdrawal was just to emphasize the need for masking. And that she, Simone, will be the newest spokesman for the disease.
I think Walmart is behind it because Walmart, I mean, all these places that had all these masks, mask manufacturer, you're annoyed that the CDC just one day said
China was hoarding them as early as January 14th when there were 500 cases before they started this bogus panic.
Right.
They were already hoarding masks. That was the thing. I mean, that's my last article at my site, my Substack site. I don't even know what the website is, but you get it at clearpicture.net. There's a link there. But I detail out that the whole thing from the very beginning, there was no cover up by China. On January 1st, they were already hyping the virus in their English language media when there were only 27 cases and no deaths. And the plan all along was to crush the West with lockdowns and sell us useless and often faulty medical equipment, knowing full well that the body count for the virus would be supplied by the lockdowns. That's what killed me, as I detail in the article. Not any virus that was already here in 2019. If you believe in the virus, and you believe that the test for the virus, that the minimal thing that they're actually testing for some piece of RNA unique from it, it was already spreading in 2019. Nobody noticed. If you believe in the virus, how is it that Sweden did nothing? They didn't have masks. They didn't have lockdowns. And if you stack out their excess burden of mortality, you wouldn't notice anything was wrong. The only thing they had, interesting, the only thing Sweden did was lock down nursing homes. People below 65, they had lower than normal excess mortality. They had a slight excess mortality. It's all in old people. It's mostly nursing home deaths. And the only thing they did was knock down their nursing homes, right? So from the beginning, this was like, and CDC benefited from it. Even if they're not in on it, right? From 6 billion to 46 billion, they got their budget increased. Google, they benefited from it, right? They're censoring. Facebook is censoring medical experts. And in the meantime, they're benefiting from this. This has been like the only crisis I can think of where I haven't seen any altruism at all. It's all profiteering. And no one's admitting it. You're not talking about it.
You admit it, you get banned. So it's hard to.
Well, Leo says, imagine Fauci with a German accent at the Nuremberg trials.
I'd love to see him. And that woman, what's her name? The CNN, that woman, Wen. She's worse than him even. Yeah, she's she's just. And now the thing they're doing, and we'll have to see how well it works. Like, I'm never, I was optimistic a couple times, and I learned that optimism doesn't work, right?
Come on, Chuck, now.
But this is what she said, and this is what they're going to pull. It's our fault for not getting vaccinated.
Right.
If you believe a mask where the air's coming out of the side, you can feel it, is blocking a virus. You believe that, then you're going to believe that it's the unvaccinated who are causing the at that point, you're going to believe anything. If you believe this Delta variant, like utter nonsense, like if you believe any of this stuff. So a lot of people are going to believe, and a lot of people too, I think, realize they made a mistake taking these vaccines, and now they want everybody, you know, misery loves company. They want everyone else to
take them.
Get a booster.
Let me ask you about this. So I find this astonishing because you've done stories about it. Even the New York Times at one point did a story about the CDC rapid tests, which are basically have literally 90% false positive something. The CDC now says, oh, we're not going to do those anymore. We're only going to have the tests for the real COVID. This is what I got to wonder. And coincidentally, Joe Biden is now saying we all have to wear masks. I wonder if part of this is a political ploy to have us wear masks for a while. The numbers will go down, not because anything's changed, but because they've changed the definition of what they're testing, right? Like, for instance, so now they're not doing those rapid tests. Now they're going to do more specific tests. So, of course, the cases are going to go down. They're going to change the definition of cases. So that's going to go down. And then they're going to turn around and say, ha-ha, the masks worked, and Joe Biden is the winner. I mean, I don't know.
That's possible. I tend to think it's all that's benign. To me, that's like making them out to be like much nicer than
people.
I think the mask function. They do a couple things. They like people who think wearing or having everybody wear masks in public has no detrimental effects. I can't even understand how they're human beings. It's such a weird idea. So they stop us from communicating with each other, along with the social distancing regimen. They stop us from getting together and realizing this is all BS, right?
Well, another insurrection.
We're in a position, people have to realize, unique in all of the history of humanity. Never before have people had their information beamed in from above. People got it from the ground. There was no beaming in from above. But not just beamed in from above, beamed in from above by people who regard you as cattle. That's right. The position we're in, right? And they want to cut us off. To me, this is the social distancing, the mask. Part of this is to push us more into that beam down information, this fake reality they manufacture with the media, and away from, if you talk to people and you go out there, you realize there's no crisis. That's the other thing the masks do. They present, they make it seem like there's some crisis when they're obviously. I mean, look, people need to think. They're all saying, oh, we need to incentivize vaccine taking. If there were really, if the Andromeda strain were really on the loose, that would be sufficient incentive.
Right. You don't incentivize people to get the, measles vaccine, you get the mumps vaccine, you get the vaccine for polio. You don't need to incentivize people to do that. People are like that. No, I think you look at people, and this is what gives me hope, like you say, that it's not going to work this time, that they've overstepped, because you look around, people are living their lives. And it's like my daughter says, people are like, I think that the average person is like Delta variant, Schmelta variant. They're not even paying attention. They're partying at Red Rocks, right? And they're trying to live their lives. You got a bunch of pissed off parents who are like, I'm not putting my kid in a mask at school.
That was maybe a bridge too far.
Taught by a transgender teacher on the CRT.
Right. I mean, I just kind of think you look at what people, I traveled to Chicago last week, and I mean, everything's packed. Nobody is walking around scared of the variant. Very few people are wearing masks. I just think people, they may not want to get political about it. They may not post on Facebook about it, but I think.
I disagree. I think
Chuck is optimistic like you, Michael.
All the little liberals would quickly mask up
I think any enthusiastic Biden voter, and that's a lot of people, I don't think they're going to see the truth. I think it's very unlikely that's the thing. We're in this country with 30, 40% of the people, we're enthusiastically voted for Joe Biden. It's nothing can survive with that many people who are so out to lunch. So yeah, I guess I'm with Chuck. I'm skeptical that they don't need the majority to buy into this. If they get a third to be passionate about it and they have a lot of distractions for the rest of us, like Wuhan labs and like all this stuff that just like distraction what's really going on and keep us like looking at this, that, the other thing. I think they can do whatever they want. And I think they had that. I think they have, they control everything. I mean,
they do.
People who regard us as cattle, who regard literally worse than cattle, the American people is worse than cattle. Like, so now it's with the technology, we're useless to them, I think is what we're seeing. We're essentially, we used to have a loot. They needed people to build stuff. They needed people to do things. Now I think we're sort of useless to them. They regard us as cattle and they control everything. They control the media. They control the universities. They control the government.
Sports teams.
They control the Republican Party at the national
right. level. Well, and I think, you know, you make actually just a couple of really good points. And I keep retweeting your points saying, you know, because there'd be like the five things you need to know about blah, blah, blah. And I keep saying the one main thing you need to know is that this is a virus that 99.9% of the people are just fine after they get. And number two, you can't believe anything anybody says. And I think you're right that it's important to not get bogged down overly much in masking, not masking, this study, that study. It's exactly like you said, these people are bullies. It's an authoritarian government. They don't just turn around and say, you know, oh, yeah, I guess we're cool now so we can go back to democracy.
Yeah.
And you got to see how bad shape we're in. And it's also the same thing with the January 6th protesters, too.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody is saying, like, is there a single Republican politician? So maybe Ron Johnson is an exception. Maybe Massey is an exception. But has any of them said, look, the death stats have been grossly inflated by crooked accounting that conflates dying with and dying from. That needs to be investigated. I haven't heard anybody say that. Has anybody said, even if you buy the death stats, there's no reason to take a vaccine because it's not very deadly? I don't see anybody saying that. Like, people are, Dr. Santos, he's like wonderful, he's great. And to me, it's like, he's great if you compare him to Biden, I guess. It's a pretty low bar. But I don't hear him saying that. I hear him encouraging, in fact, people to take an experimental drug that actually injects foreign RNA into your cells, assuming they're even telling the truth about what's in it.
Right.
But the manufacturers have been given liability from damages. To me, anyone who encourages you to take a drug that the manufacturers were only willing to sell, that they forced people to sign a contract saying the government has to give us liability from any damages if it's unsafe before we're even willing to sell this poison, right? Anybody who pushes that, to me, it's like reprehensible under those conditions. And I don't see anybody in the GOP, you know, maybe again, Ron Johnson has to some extent, I think, pushed that the vaccines from Wisconsin are bad. Massey definitely says some stuff. But in general, the GOP, it's worthless. And the same thing January 6th. So people are in jail now for months on nonviolent offenses. They were obviously set up. There's like no question.
That was
anybody from the first day. The first day, Tom Cotton, who we're supposed to think is great, is going, oh, this is a horrible
incident. Oh, I know. Whoa. I know. I went and instead
of a brain knew this.
People on Tucker Carlson. Hey, let me ask you this. I don't know if you saw this. Speaking of the insurrection, the conservative treehouse had an interesting thing, resurrecting some familiar characters from the investigation you did into the Christine Blasey Ford Kavanaugh hearings.
They're in this too. Oh my God.
They showed a picture when, who was that idiot cop who was testifying? Who
6'8", 400 pounds.
No, not that guy. The other guy. The one who had the spiderweb tattoo on his neck.
The narcotics officer who wasn't even
right. Okay, so while he's testifying, the guy sitting behind him is the same guy who was the advisor. He's with lawfare. Christine Blasey Ford's advisor. Well, not her advisor, the woman who gave her the excuse and told her to write the letter to
Monica.
McLean.
Monica McLean.
There's a coincidence.
And the GOP, they all know what's going on. And these people have been in jail for months in solitary confinement. And nobody's like saying, they're going like Cuba. We need to help. Let's look somewhere to help somebody.
Well, I'll give credit to Cuba.
Like, I don't want to hear about Cuba. Like, I don't want to hear, like, when our government. So there's clearly a systematic effort to make dissident political opinions, to criminalize and stigmatize dissident.
Right.
But I like you.
January 6th is being used to do that. none of the GOP I see
you
is
can't
like,
count on the GOP.
Right? No,
but
I
let
mean,
me tell you about the Cubans. Let me tell you about the Cubans. They're the only ones that actually, when you have some liberal reporter go up harassing them, they all just let them have it, and they just chase them out. I mean, it's great. The Cubans, the Cuban Americans, the only ones with any spunk at all.
No,
I don't want to hear about like. I mean, this country's not doing. We're materially we're better off than Cuba. In terms of political oppression,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. This is kind of, in terms of political oppression, we're as bad as it gets now.
Well, no, I know. And you're right. And that's the language is all like when YouTube banned us, they said it's because we're dangerous, right? It's not safe for us to talk to our listeners and give them the information. I mean, you're absolutely right. The whole move there is to criminalize it. And it is outrageous that those guys were in prison for this. It was the same thing. The FBI clearly set them up just like they did. And
Whitmer, they set up everything.
That's all they're good at is setting people up. They get people to commit crimes.
Right.
And then they arrest them. They did this. There's a guy, Jeremy Hammond, 10 years in jail for doing a hack, the huge hack at Stratford. It was one of the biggest security breaches ever. The FBI informant suggested it and gave him he never heard of Stratford before. The FBI informant gives him the tools, suggests doing it. He does it. The FBI knows about it. They let Stratford get hacked. They don't try to stop it. All these people's credit cards information is taken. Hammond gets 10 years in jail. It's like, right. And then who is the head of the FBI then? This CrowdStrike guy, Sean. God, my mind is going. Sean.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
The guy who did the Russian DNC hack fake. He was the one who ran the Jeremy Hammond thing.
Well, and did you see?
So, yeah, we're like. I mean, if anyone who thinks our government is still the good guys has their head in the sand at this point,
yeah.
we're bad. I mean, not us.
Did you see? So that New York Times, again, the conservative treehouse, the New York Times reporter who was tweeting that Trump reporters are evil and are criminals and things like that, turns out that before she got the job at the New York Times, she worked for one of the Chinese newspaper that was supported by the Chinese Communist Party.
Yay.
So it's like, so the New York Times, I mean, it might as well have been Fang Fang, right? The New York Times.
As I point out in my last article, and like the whole story of how the COVID hoax started, how China did, how our public officials in it, like all they did was parrot. So everything we were told, we had no reason to believe there was a deadly disease except China. China said, "Hey, guess what? You guys, there's a deadly disease coming. You need to do this thing, lockdown. It's never been done in history before, and it's going to destroy you. But just ignore that because there's a deadly disease coming." So, and Fauci and Redfield parroted this. There was no reason to believe any imbecile would say, "Let's see, my enemies are telling me that in order to avoid a deadly disease that I have no evidence for except them, I need to destroy myself." Yeah. Do I believe them? No, but Fauci and Redfield, they got up, they that's literally what happened. I mean, it's incredible. Like, I try to sort of tell the whole story.
Right.
But that's literally what happened. Our enemy said, there's a deadly, horrible thing going to happen. We had no reason to believe it except for that data. Our media and public health officials parroted this as if there was no reason to doubt China's word. And then we were told you need the lockdown, which had never been suggested in all of history, literally.
Right.
Like, as I say in the article, a brutal tool of subjugation, they rebranded it as an innovative public health strategy. That's what China did. And we fell, and we didn't, I mean, we did fall for it. The article I want to emphasize, I think we need to understand China started this, but it would not have gotten off the ground without Fauci, Redfield, our public health establishments and the media. Those are the people who need to be investigated and punished, but it's not gonna happen. Like, all you can, yeah. I don't see it happening, because again, you have to think the death stats for this virus are total BS. Everybody knows this, right? Gunshot victims are on there by design, right?
Right.
Because Fauci, and this was the level of gaslighting at the very beginning, Fauci and Birx got up and bragged about the fact that they were going to conflate anyone who died after diagnosis as dying from the virus. Nobody's like calling this out. Everyone keeps reciting these death stats, and even with the inflation, it's not deadly. But forget that. Everybody's citing these death stats. Nobody in Congress is saying, "I demand to know why the CDC falsified the death stats to make it look
worse.
Man, I want these people punished. No one's saying.
Well, and they're not anymore.
But punished by who? Punished by who?
The Department of Justice.
Lawfare.
Maybe Durham could look into it.
Durham could look into it. His report's coming out anytime now.
Well, if you see, hospitals are now.
Who knows?
Hospitals are now being instructed. So again, they're changing the definition of cases. They're not testing people who are asymptomatic, who's been vaccinated. So before, I mean, if you like delivered flowers at the hospital and, you know, you might have had contact with a person who had tested positive, you were listed as a positive case, right, in the hospital. But now they're changing their definitions on that. I mean, you're right. And they're switching it all the other way. But at the same time, and I think you're right, it's just authoritarian.
Everyone's going, oh, the vaccines are effective. Has anybody really looked at the alleged data, which we have no reason to believe because it was supplied by the very companies who refused to sell the stuff unless government.
I disagree.
They had 30,000 or whatever, 40,000 participants, but they only had like 200 infections, like total in the entire like placebo group and the other group, no more than 500. Like literally it's no more than 200 in both groups, right? So the numbers are so small that the effectiveness, claims are just total BS.
Well, there hasn't been enough time.
But you have to understand.
They refuse to release the data.
We don't want the data. What we want is more of this. More mass mandates, more lockdown mandates, more Fauci, more all of them. That's a big, if they were halfway smart, they'd kind of go, let's go on to a different con.
Right.
They go, no, we love this.
Well, they may be, though, because Schwab and the WEF, They did an exercise. So they did this exercise on a pandemic, and they were saying a pandemic is needed. The Great Reset, this is not a conspiracy theory. The guy wrote a book on it explaining what happened, right? Explaining what was going to happen. They did an exercise a few weeks ago on a big computer hack that took down all the supply chains. WF did a so, and I'm not kidding. I mean, I this is something everyone should be worried about.
I think so too.
I forget what it was called, but they're saying like, oh, okay, now we had the pandemic that we just coincidentally predicted like a few months before. Our next exercise is going to be this huge disruption in the computer system that's going to bring the supply chains down.
Excellent.
So the only thing, the mask mandates gives me some hope that maybe they're not. When everything looked like it was getting better, I actually got sort of even more worse.
We could tell.
Supply chain attack is coming.
Right.
So there may be. This is the thing that makes me really pessimistic. I don't see how they walk themselves back from.
They don't want to.
But even if they did.
We're just going to have to say no.
All you can do at this stage is pile it on and keep it going.
Yes, let them keep on piling on.
It's
increasingly less effective.
Every time you
have a governor go out saying, I'm going to have to, you know, lock down again.
Well, but shutting down the supply chains with the computer hack, that's going to be
that's a good one. That'll bring us to our knees really quick.
And they're going to say, you know, I mean, I don't know how they're going to. They'll tell us it's like, oh, it wasn't us. It was like the Russians.
It was, exactly. It was Russian.
And, you know, people are saying the supply, there's this weird, I don't know if any of this is true, weird problems with the supply chain. Things seem to be being held back. So I just don't, they murdered. You have to realize that with lockdowns, they murdered like millions and millions of people, like not just the nursing homes here turned into death camps, but third world poverty, like got like worse, suicides. So they're capable of anything. They're capable of anything.
They don't care. No, you're right.
Well, I'm just doing this exercise. To me, is like a real.
We should be worried. All right. Well, we'll watch it. Hey, listen, we got to let you go. Aclearerpicture.net is the best place to get to all of your stuff.
Yeah, I have a Substack feed now, but there's a link to the. People should look at the last article. I worked very hard a long time on it.
Yes.
Getting a big response, and it really lays out like what happened from the beginning to the end. In an interesting, entertaining read, how we got talked into lockdowns. And there's like basic facts, the fundamental obvious facts everyone's missing because of all these the irrelevant details, essentially. The basic fact is everything, and I documented, everything depended on completely trusting China in telling us that there was a deadly virus, which proved false. Two things, that there's a deadly virus on the loose, proved false, and that they beat it with lockdowns, which proved totally false. Like, and I also give people don't aware of this. When Fauci and Redfield were pushing the China stuff, there was evidence their data was rigged. That was like, well, that they knew that the data was rigged. And since then, we have strong evidence that China never locked down at all. That the whole
right, thing, right. The whole thing was said.
Well, so I want you to be glad and stay happy. Keep that happiness going.
All right. We'll talk to you next time.
See you guys. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. You know, now I'm worried now because he's talking about them doing tests on the supply chain, because I think that is really, I mean, we're seeing little stories about that. That's like a really bad thing.
Good.
Yeah. You know, I will say this. So thank God people, Lauren Boebert is saying she's not wearing a mask. Nancy Pelosi is trying to say everybody has to wear a mask. Yeah. Well, real quick, because we're going to have Tom Tancredo coming up, and I'll let you explain that in just a second.
Okay.
Thomas, if you want to go ahead and call Tom Tancredo, we can go ahead and do that now. But I do think it's good. And that gives me some reason for optimism that there are a lot of people who are now saying no mask. Right. Although it was, I would give this, Michael Brown tweeted, this is kind of funny. He said in Colorado, we cured COVID by having a Major League Baseball event come. Right. And he said, so maybe if a bunch of states booked some massive sporting events, they could cure COVID too.
Southern California, it's going to be great for LA.
You know, I think we're like this close to having polis say,
lockdown again, everybody.
Everyone has to wear masks. I mean, and just it's the uncertainty, the confusion. So you guys, everybody, we all have to stay strong and we have to stick together. I was joking at the beginning about wearing a mask. I will not wear one. Not going to do it this time. It's incredibly stupid and useless, and it's bad for you. So I think we all need to stick together on this and remember that there are more of us than there are of them, I think. I hope so too. Yeah, great, Michael Brown. That was pretty funny. You know, real quick while we're waiting for those, the good news also, though, more good news. Rasmussen now has Biden dropping his approval rating down to 46%. Mm-hmm. These are not good times. And I think you're right. I think this whole current CDC thing.
It's great.
I think this is a Biden White House. It's a complete disarray. They're flailing.
You see a crawler on CNN or Fox or something else saying, new CDC announcement. You kind of
Did they just do one two hours ago?
Okay.
Well, and
we'll do whatever they tell us.
And they never make it clear. It's sort of like, and if you have 70 out of 10,000, or 35, whatever it is, like I'm supposed to know that, right? And if you're a store owner, like you're supposed to know that. You know, and it does, though, in a way, kind of break my heart, because I'm hoping right now our son's school is saying that they're going to make masks optional, right? So I was talking with Rev about it because school is just about 3 weeks away. And he said, you know, I hope they don't do social distancing, because he said, I'm not sure that all of my friends are going to be in my class because they all get new class assignments. Uh-huh. And he said, but before, at least we could play with each other on the playground.
Yeah. Well,
and he said, but if we have to social distance, he said, then you don't get to play with anyone on the playground. And, you know, and it's like, oh, that's good. That's what fourth and fifth graders need to be doing, you know. And then these stupid people talk about everybody has to get vaccinated. It's like, you can't. You can't even if we wanted to, which we don't, you can't get a 12-year-old vaccinated. So I think Michael's right. It's just they're bullies. And you're right. Bullies and authoritarian governments don't say, totalitarian governments don't say, okay, that's enough now. You know, we're going to go to democracy. So.
All right. Well, how did your booking go with Tom?
I think he should be there. I mean. If Thomas can try me, he's got a call. Well, do you want to explain what we're talking about here? Or?
Well, as many of you know, and including Ben, who's up there, the Happy Band of Warriors has been going around the state to provide the Republican Party with a chance to save itself from turning into just an adjunct of the Democratic Party by opting out of primaries where it's now being run by Democrats with unaffiliated winning the
open primary. Unaffiliated primary. Voters can vote in any primary.
And the Democrats pour money into Catherine Murdoch, and then all you do is get rhinos, just endless rhinos. And so we've been preaching this message now since the spring, and we've finally woken them up.
Oh, it's man, there you pulled the establishment snake nest, the rat nest, Sandra, to use your word. These are rhino rats, I guess I would call them. We poked them. They're on Peter Boyles. They're on Mandy Connell.
Yeah, they got John Caldera coming out, you know, all the bomb daddies and the rich guys will go, John, get out there. That ain't making sense. They're connecting with people. So he went on with Peter, and of course, Peter hates Republicans, and he says, But all he ever talks about Republicans. That's all he ever does. He's got, well, he says, well, I don't think the Republicans ought to do this or that. And I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. You know, just hate the Democrats.
Hey,
who needs you?
We may have had a miscommunication that could be Chuck's fault on the Tom Tancredo thing. But in the meantime, I've got Sherry from Lakewood online one. So we'll take her call. Hey, Sherry. Good afternoon.
Hi. I just wanted to weigh in a little bit on the cyber yes. consequences. So sure. May 27th, that's when the cyber polygon, the World Economic Forum globalists, they ran a simulation of a cyber attack targeted on supply systems, just like they did with the event 201 that brought us the whole COVID-19. But did you hear where Biden said, if we end up in a real shooting war with a major power, it's going to be as a consequence of a cyber breach?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it might be more than just the supply chains. He might get us into a nice war. So
of course,
and it probably will happen when the audit results start to come out. Then there's going to be massive outages to hide the truth.
Right. Well, and Sherry, here's the only thing. It's going to be hard to be in a shooting war when all of our computer systems are shut down, right? The whole military operates on
that. Our new feminized army, though.
They'll be all so diverse and stuff, but they won't be able to access their TikTok accounts. And, you know, so who knows how we wage war and those kind of things. No, I think you're right. I think that is something we need to be concerned about. It's one of those things I think people... I mean, think of it. If somebody were to, you could hack supply chains, you could hack banks. I mean, everything, which you could hack cars, right? Where you take over the car's computer system and shut them down. I mean, there are a lot of things that, you know, sound very like science fiction, but are reality right now. And I think sometimes I fear I believe firmly that it's just a matter of time before that kind of stuff happens.
Well, and you also have to realize that they've been prepping this narrative of starting over Taiwan, that a war over Taiwan. If Biden refuses to help Taiwan, they're going to invoke the 25th. If they go to war with China, the 3GD collapse. It's just they telegraph the crap they're going to pull on us. It's just sometimes getting a clear picture, but you watch and see if everything doesn't shut down on us.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised in the least. Would not
okay,
be surprised
thanks.
In the least.
Thank
okay,
you, Sherry.
Take care, Sherry.
All right. Texas, you have to talk and I'm texting.
Yes, our Armenian Booker is having some concerns. But this is great. I mean,
explain. So you guys have been going around getting support for this.
Yeah, right.
Some people support, some people don't.
Some people don't, some people love.
You'll be shocked to know that the head of the Colorado Republican Party put out an email to everybody. First of all,
saying I'm neutral, saying she's neutral. Why it'd be an awful idea.
Right. In a neutral way, though.
In a very neutral way. And then they've had what's his name from the Independence Institute?
John Caldera,
and he's been officially tasked with killing the insurrection. And he went on Peter's show, and of course Peter says we've got to have squishes, you know, we've got to have rhinos, we have to have good solid rhinos. And then he complains when he gets his big solid rhinos, which is Walker Stapleton and all the rest. And then he kind of, but they're not the kind. We need Ronald Reagan. And you go, well, Ronald's dead right now, Peter, so we can't have Ronald.
Well, and this year, and as Ben points out, neither Peter nor Caldera are registered Republicans.
No.
So that's kind of interesting.
They
so
do
why?
Everything they can to
you
kill
know,
the Republican
and Ben,
Party.
Ben, if you want to come on, because you're part of this too, hopefully we can get Tom. And again, I apologize, that might have been a booking issue on my part. But it does seem to me kind of funny that anyone's listening to somebody tell the Republican Party what to do who is not a Republican. I mean, it seems to me that should be like the first, that's like somebody, you know, you get somebody who gives you all this advice on child rearing who doesn't have a child, right? Or dating, who's never dated. Or I mean, you know, it's like, why would we listen to John Caldera, and no offense, or Peter Boyles, tell the Republican Party what to do if they're not even Republicans?
Are you speaking to me?
Well, I'm speaking to everyone.
Everybody, but you
go
too.
Ahead and weigh in, Ben.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct, Dad. I don't know if they're opinion is valid because of they're both registered unaffiliates, I believe. So I think that they protest a little too much, as they say.
Right.
Our group, Chuck is part of, and you as the minion,
Yeah.
Team Minion.
That's right. I think that there's a lot of misinformation that's being pushed out there. And the one thing that I'm being hearing the most about is that we are trying to disenfranchise Republican voters. And that can't be the furthest thing from the truth. We're actually trying to make certain that all registered Republicans can participate if they wish to do so.
Right.
And that's the current law does not allow that. You know, I mean, right. The only time you get a ballot sent to all the Republicans is through this particular open primary system.
Right.
The downside is that you have a bunch of Democrats that are counting our votes, and you have a lot of unaffiliateds who hate everything about the Republican Party, such as Peter, voting in there. So there's a lot of shenanigans that's being played with the vote system itself.
Well, and here's the biggest point I would make too to people. It's like, and John Caldera has an article up, it's going to destroy the GOP. I'm like, what's
it's
left?
Dead.
Yeah.
You killed it, John.
Do you mean that if we change the system, we might lose every statewide office? God, that hasn't happened. Huh. Oh, wait, no, it did happen.
We might lose the legislature and the House.
Well, to me, it's like, why not give it a shot? I mean, if you were to say everyone has to wear purple hats when they vote, I'd be like, hey, it's worth a shot.
Well I love Caldera saying we're right on the verge of victory. You know, who's we won? And what are you talking about? We just lost 22,000 registered Republicans. If it's going so great for Republicans, How come everything's so disastrous?
And Ben, this is kind of funny. Leo says you guys are going to need a faster getaway car.
Yeah, I see that.
Ben and Chuck Stirring and Easy Rider too. Why don't you explain that? Because I think those numbers are astonishing. That talk a little bit about, if you have them at hand, and you may not, the number of people who have been fleeing out of disgust, I believe. It's not that they don't believe in Republican principles or Republican values. They're just disgusted with the Colorado Republican Party. Talk about some of the numbers. I mean, even since the first of the year.
Well, there's I don't have the numbers right at the tip of my hand, but I know that they're dropping. They're plummeting quickly. You know, if you go to my GOP, what was that? It's the GOP.org.
Right.
MyColoradoGOP.org. You'll find a chart up there that we've placed showing the registration just dropping right through the floor. And our little tour that we've been doing, I personally have put over 2,000 miles on traveling across the state, talking to various groups of Republicans that are out there about this very issue. And without fail, they are all behind us on this. They Right. are sick and tired of seeing our party being ran into the ground by the establishment which controls it, and then Right. Doing nothing to fight this. There are two major constitutional issues that are wrong with this law that we're under.
Right.
And until we learn how to fight and take that into court, we will constantly lose here.
Well, and they're spreading misinformation too. And again, I'm not as involved in it as you guys are, but just sort of initially when Chuck started talking about this and you too, I'm like, well, you know, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. But then I started looking into it. And some of the misinformation they're spreading is like, oh, that you couldn't petition to get on the ballot. The reality is, as I understand it, and so for anyone listening, if the Colorado Republican Party Central Committee votes to opt out.
Not Central Committee. Yes, Central Committee.
Okay,
yes,
votes yeah. to opt out of the open primary. You can then vote to install pretty much whatever you want, right?
That's right. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to tell people that are Republicans that we can create our own unique system internally where we can conduct these votes and count our own votes internally.
Right.
And so it's kind of open at this point to your imagination. We're simply providing a platform to launch it from. We're saying, let's first get out of this thing. And
right.
then we have about 6 to 9 months for us to come together. We don't have to create this all in a week.
Right.
We have 6 to 9 months to do a lot of internal searching as to how we put together a system that will be acceptable to all registered Republicans. And so
right.
everybody can vote. You know, Thomas Jefferson said it best. He said that we do not have a government by the majority. We have a government by the majority who participate. And so
right.
not every Republican, you know, right now returns a ballot, even though everybody gets a ballot, and that's rife for any kind of mischief. Yes, right. And so, and when you have an open primary such as our that we have in this state, the unaffiliateds can play all kinds of hell with it.
Right, they do. Well, and not only that, but I know Charlene earlier pointed out somebody should look into the board of the Independence Institute. And, you know, I like John Caldera, but I believe that basically the establishment and establishment donors like Phil Anschutz fund and pay John Caldera's salary. And the establishment people, the last thing they want are people like you and me and Charlene and Sandra and Leo and your average Republican registered voter deciding who our candidate is. For Pete's sakes, they don't want that. They want to shove Heidi Gnall down our throats. And right. The fact that Heidi Gnall probably wouldn't win doesn't matter to them. All the consultants.
I am not making a recommendation on the primary.
No, I know, but
Heidi
I
or anybody else.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, this is my thing. If Heidi Gnall wants to run and if she wins, great, then she'll be our candidate. And if she gets the most votes, then she'll win. But the fact that I think the establishment people are trying to control it, and I just go back to the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing and expect different results. What we're doing now, first of all, what we're doing now is what the Democrats told us to do, which should have been clue number one. Secondly, it's not working. We're losing Republican registered voters in droves. We're losing every election. The Democrats have taken over the state and are only going to continue to do something. I guess I would say, what do we have to lose? And am I not also correct? And we could go back if we wanted, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's right. We see this is not a one and done. We have got to continue. This may take three cycles of us voting to opt out. And every time that we do that, we will create a better system internally as to how we can improve and do the things that we want internally controlled by Republicans.
Right.
And that's the key thing here, that we have to bring this internally. They definitely don't want that. The establishment that you talked about, they want to run their candidate in their way. They want to make certain that we get people like Heidi Gnall, and we have no other choice.
Right.
We're simply saying, no, let's do this internally here. If Heidi is the one that Republicans have chosen
great.
To represent us, great.
Right.
I'm all for it.
Right.
But how about letting Republicans vote for who it is that represents their viewpoints, their principles, and their platform.
Right.
It's a crazy idea, I know, but
it seems crazy, but I think that's a thing that they're all afraid of. And I think the only thing I would say, like I said, Peter's a longtime friend, love John Caldera. I would just be skeptical when I listen to them about their actual motives for why they would be opposed to this.
Because the Republicans are right on the edge of victory here in Colorado.
Yeah.
Now, how many times have they told us that? How many times have they told us, okay, governor candidate, senator candidate, oh yeah, we're about to win this, we're about to win that, and they've lost everything. But
don't change. Don't change a thing.
Yeah, just so everybody understands it, I'm going to be 72 here in about a week or so, but in my lifetime, we've only had three elected Republican governors.
And one in 1949, before I was born.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly when I was born. And so that's what I'm talking about here. So it's not like we have been just ruling the state and the governor's office. They have.
Right.
And governors always are the ones that are appointing the judges.
Yeah.
So we have lost everything as far as the judicial system. It is all Democrats.
Right.
The legislative, it's all Democrats. The governorship, it's all Democrats. So
we're on the verge of victory with John Caldera.
You know that swirling thing that we feel that we're going down? Yeah, that's what we're in.
So I'm trying to say, all right, well, Ben, thank you. I imposed on you here, but thank you for popping in.
But you're a good substitute for Tom Pankin.
That's right.
Oh, good. Thanks. Okay.
You can be a former governor. Hey, and then on one, we just got congressman. He should have been governor. So we'll have more on that on Friday, because I think what's curious to me, though, is the fact that
they're panicking. panicking.
They're panicking. All of a sudden, they're throwing out all kinds of people going on all kinds of shows, not ours, nor are they inviting us on their shows to talk about it. But which means that people are like, well, that seems like it might be a good idea. It's kind of like if you're a sports team, it's like, no, we are sticking with this offense. Yeah. You know, we haven't won a game, of course, in 40 years, but we are sticking with this offense because any day now,
We're right on the verge of victory.
Speaking of victory, I just, because I know we have to go in about a minute, I just want to throw in my two cents because that's what we do in the podcast.
Well, let's go to Daryl from Florida for a second. Okay. It's on line one. Daryl?
Hey, is it me?
It is you.
It's you
and it's us.
Wow, that's exciting. How are you? Do you two like to laugh?
What?
Do you two like to laugh?
Yes. Sometimes. What's up? We only got about a minute, Daryl.
Got 30 seconds, Daryl, for something funny.
Why would you bring me on the air with 30 seconds left?
What do you have to say?
Sometimes people can be quick. Can you be quick or you want to call back on Friday?
I mean, I'm a stand-up comedian, so to tell me to do 30 seconds is incredible. I mean, I got to do 5 minutes minimum.
Tell you what, Daryl, we're on Friday. Call us back on Friday, and we'll give you more than 30 seconds, okay?
All right. I love it. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. I'm not sure Daryl was a real caller. Maybe. Daryl, if you're a real caller, call back on Friday. And you took up the time, Daryl, that I was going to use to talk about Simone Biles. But that's okay.
Go ahead. Go. Give us a little Simone Biles.
You know... No, that's not enough time.
What do you mean? Did we tell Daryl he had enough time? And then, we have 2 minutes.
Here's what I think. I think that there is something wrong with our society anymore and what we're teaching our kids. I think that we need to be teaching our kids, you can do it. That if you've worked hard, devoted your whole life to something, and then at the epitome, at the one crucial moment, you're just like, oh, my head's not in the right place. And everybody says, oh, you're a hero. No, I mean, I'm sorry. She's not a hero. She's a failure. Now, she's not a lifetime failure. She's not a failure in everything, but she just failed at the one thing she has spent her whole life shooting for. Now, we can support her. We can say, hey, of course, there is no next time. She'll be too old for the next Olympics. But the biggest problem I have is supporting her as a hero. She is not a hero. I'm sorry. She lost. She's a failure. It's like when your kids go out there and lose and we say, oh, you're the heroes. It's like, no, you're not.
Well,
you just lost.
And mostly in life, somebody says, well, I may be the best at it, but I can't do it. That's great. Next up. Who's the next person?
Right.
And maybe she can win the gold medal or whatever else. But she doesn't have to compete. She let everybody down. And of course, the left wants to heroize her.
That to me is the biggest problem.
Well,
we
had Matthew Wolf in golf. It came out of Oklahoma State, won a tournament, which is about $1.5 million to $2 million. And he said he couldn't go to the British Open because he was mentally not there. So,
and everyone's like, what a hero. It's like, don't show up. It's like, you're not a hero. You're a hero when you rise above. You're a hero when you encounter circumstances that are challenging and difficult and hard, and you don't succumb to them and fall to your knees in failure. You rise above them. Those are people who are heroes.
You think U.S. gymnastics, instead of providing perverted doctors, would try to provide some sports psychologist or something to help her along. But if she can't do it or doesn't want to do it, I mean, okay.
But she's not a hero. So that's just my two cents on that.
All right.
Now we do have to go. Party Friday coming up.
Party Friday coming up. Some more Simone Biles.
We'll see you then. Biles. We'll see you later.